This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
Three and oh, baby. 3-0. Panthers 24, Texans 9. Before I get into the game, shouts to Joey Sly. You missed an extra point.
Classic Joey Sly game. Missed an extra point, made a 53-yarder.
Oh, my gosh. When he missed the extra point, I went, Joey Sly, still rooting for the Panthers.
One of my favorite parts of the game last night was when Troy Aikman said, well, they're in Joey Sly's range. And I was just thinking to myself, what is Joey Sly's range?
I don't know, man. He's got a big leg, but he just doesn't necessarily know where it's going right now.
Doesn't know how to use it. You know what I mean?
When he missed the extra point, nobody at all should have been surprised. It was a costly night, though, in Houston. Christian McCaffrey, hamstring injury in the first half. Rookie cornerback J.C. Horn apparently ruptured Achilles. Just backpedaling in the second half. We're going to talk to Dr. Salen Parekh a little bit later on. And I understand we've made incredible advancements in fake grass, but I'm going to ask him, even though it probably doesn't have anything to do with it, just backpedaling like that? Is there an impact of playing on crushed rubber tire? I honestly don't know. Anyway, not that J.C. Horn's injury is not a big deal. It is. Christian McCaffrey's hamstring injury, to me, is the difference between this team potentially chasing down a playoff spot and not. Let's hear from Matt Rhule on Christian McCaffrey's injury.
You know, Christian strained his hamstring. I don't know the severity level of it yet, to be quite honest with you. But I knew the minute it happened, they said, hey, he's out for the game. So that's all I knew. I just saw him in there. You know, he's moving around, but he's, you know, obviously, I have to wait and see, kind of MRI it maybe or something, to see, you'll see what the severity is.
I know Sam Darnold spoke to McCaffrey after the game, and Darnold, I believe, said McCaffrey was sad. Alec, we need to do some research. Is Matt Rhule Porky Pig? I need you to do research.
You know, Christian strained.
I think something there. I'm not sure. There might be. We'll have to do a, I don't know, comparison. Yeah. I apologize. It just struck me.
You know, Christian strained.
I'm so sorry. I'm really, because now people are gonna think like, wait, he might be. All right, on the field. The defense did their thing apart from that one drive late in the first half. Actually, there were two good drives for Houston, but we'll get to the second one in a second. Texans were held to less than 200 yards of total offense. They sacked Davis Mills 4 times. Texans' running game produced just 42 yards on 17 carries. That was supposed to be the strength of this team. I thought Sam Darnold was good again. I think it was sort of the midpoint between game one and game two, 304 yards passing, 2 rushing touchdowns. Here's the head coach on his quarterback's play.
I think one thing about Sam, he has some moxie, man. He stayed in the pocket, had that long run called back, but, you know, finding Terrace on the 3rd and 12. There were some huge conversions by Sam. And, again, it's him just playing within the system, but also I think he has a courageousness that, you know, he's not crossing the line going over the top. He's protecting the football and still pushing the ball down there.
He protected the football well, throwing it. To me, the only real blemishes, and it could have been worse. A couple of instances, I think, of being careless with the ball in the pocket. But Carolina recovered both fumbles. So I guess no harm, no foul. But it could have gone the other way. And I will also say that apparently Matt Rhule is contagious.
That's horrible.
See? David Culley. David Culley with momentum in the game. You ended the first half with a really impressive touchdown drive. Then you start the second half with a really impressive drive that takes you into plus territory. You have a 4th and 4 at the 39, and you punted. You punted. Like, there are three options. Punting, to me, when you are the Houston Texans and you are going nowhere, is not an option. Apparently, it is for David Culley. All I can think of is, well, maybe Matt Rhule is contagious. Because that was weak sauce. To me, if I'm the Houston Texans fan, that's a fireable offense for me. Like, we're not going anywhere. We'd be lucky to win 5 games this year.
That's horrible.
That's exactly what happened. That's what Matt Rhule said on the sideline, on the Panthers sideline, after David Culley ran the punt team on 4th and 4 at the 39. Panthers responded with a touchdown drive that triggered a 17-point second half. We're going to talk about how they deal without CMC. How long should they keep him out? Another football game last night before we get to Gary Williams from Whistling Straits. I thought App State was going to be headed for a difficult game with Marshall. You know, we talked about this yesterday. We spoke with Ethan Joyce, who covers the Mountaineers for the Winston-Salem Journal. I really thought that this game was going to be a tough one, and it was. It was very much a difficult game. Two good teams, I believe. Neither team was all that clean. App allowed a kickoff return touchdown, turned it over twice to start the second half. That game got very hairy. Marshall committed 8 penalties, missed a short field goal. Hurd led it 30-21 in the fourth quarter. But the Mountaineers scored the last 10 points. Go ahead, 45-yard field goal with 5:45 left. It didn't look like that field goal was going to stay inside the upright, but whether it straightened out or not, or he kicked it harder than I anticipated because it looked like it was drifting to the right, but it got inside the upright. Marshall turned it over on downs, and then App State ran the clock out. Literally ran the clock out. Loved seeing Nate Noel slide down rather than score a touchdown. I know there were people out there that might have had App minus points, which would have given you a chance if App had scored the touchdown. And I guess they would have had to go for 2 because I think it was an 8.5-point spread. Anyway, or an 8. Maybe it was an 8-point spread. Either way, or I don't know. Actually, I don't remember. It might have been less than that. Either way, it was about winning the game, and you eliminate Marshall's chances of winning the game by going to the turf, because then they just kneeled it out. 3-1 on the season as App heads to Georgia State next Saturday, and then I believe it's University of Louisiana on the road as App gets back into playing midweek games. I think that's like a Tuesday game. They play Saturday, then the following Tuesday. So, but good win for App. They were put up over 500 yards of offense. It was just those 2 turnovers and the mishap on special teams that made this game very, very tight. A couple of things we are going to discuss later. I'm going to ask Alec the question, am I supposed to care about what Alex Guerrero said, Tom Brady's trainer? Am I supposed to care that Alex Guerrero thinks that Bill Belichick was treating Tom Brady like a 40-year-old as opposed to a 20-year-old? I'm not entirely sure I'm supposed to care about that. Also, the NFL is expanding the playoffs again. Think about this. They're not expanding the number of teams. They're expanding the number of days to the playoffs. I think a lot of people are going to like this. We'll have to see which 2 teams end up playing on the Monday night. But the wild card round this year will have 2 instead of 3 games on Saturday, 3 games on Sunday, and then 1 game Monday night. Now, I'm going to guess that the team that plays wins Monday night won't be asked to play the following Saturday. Gary Williams now joins us from Whistling Straits. He is with something called 5 Clubs Golf Now, multimedia platform. Podcasts are out. One with Phil Mickelson, the other with the Ryder Cup broadcast duo of Paul Azinger and Dan Hicks. And you can listen, as I did this morning and as I will this afternoon, to Gary on Sirius XM and Ryder Cup Radio. You have a great, great opportunity to be in a place I think all of us who love golf would like to be at the Ryder Cup matches. How you doing?
Adam, I'm doing great. It's good to chat with you. You're right. This is my mom just texted me, who lives in Chapel Hill, and she said, enjoy this. This is the time of your life. And it is. I mean, these are the special events that you and I are very privileged to get to go to on occasion. And, you know, we've waited 3 long years in the United States for this, and the place is buzzing. And it's just spectacular today. The weather's great. It's really special.
Gary Williams is joining us. Tell me about Five Clubs Golf and what you hope to achieve with it. And then I know we're going to start afternoon matches soon, so I might lose you earlier than I expected. But talk to me about Five Clubs Golf, and then we'll figure out where Padraig Harrington goes from here.
Yeah, first of all, Adam, thank you for asking. It is Five Clubs Golf is, as you mentioned, it's the media platform that I am now overseeing. It's part of a company that's a 25-year-old sports marketing agency based in Charlotte called Signature Sports Group. They wanted to get into golf, so I'm overseeing the media platform. And it is, you know, to put it as simply as I can, Adam, it's I hope it's more than just a singular podcast. I'd like it to be, you know, a continuing conversation about something we all, you know, value, and that is the game of golf. We're going to add some contributors, a couple people I'm going to announce next week, 2 people that you are very familiar with are going to be contributors on a regular basis. So we're going to build out a roster. And the people who are part of this, who are going to be providing the content, are going to have total autonomy to do with their time what they want. I'm going to produce 2 shows a week. One's going to be opinion-based. The other's going to be a long-form interview. And it's you know, trying to build something. And, look, you've built a great following that you've sustained for a long time. And that's what we're hoping to do with this media platform. And I'm thrilled to be back in Charlotte and looking forward to this project.
Yeah, you're home. Good for you. And shouts to your mom if she's listening in Chapel Hill.
Thank you.
Gary Williams with us. All right, can we still give Jordan Spieth at least a half point for at least for the shot he hit on 17 today? Garcia and Rahm. Sergio is just a magician when it comes to the Ryder Cup. He always figures out a way to find something, but I thought Spieth, I mean, you hate to say he was let down by his partner today, but Justin Thomas couldn't make a putt.
You're right, and I think it's fair to say that because I thought Jordan, you know, fought hard. I thought he played solid golf. Justin missed a reasonable birdie putt on the first hole that set the tone. He made nothing the entire match. John Rahm missed 1 shot. He hit the second shot on 5, the 600-yard par 5, into the water. Other than that, he was spotless. Sergio, you know, had his moments, which he's apt to do in this competition, and they were just simply better. And I thought that would be a big tone-setting match, but it looks like the United States is going to win this first session, which, you know, Adam, they've done that over the last decade. It hasn't been the first session. It has been really the first day. They've relinquished leads repeatedly in this, and it'll be very interesting to see what Harrington does. He said last night he was determined to get everybody on the golf course this afternoon. Losing these 3 matches makes me think that he's going to be able to accomplish that because there are a couple guys who need to be sat.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised that Matthew Fitzpatrick and Lee Westwood are still out there because they have been by a lot the second best in that match with Brooks Koepka and Daniel Berger.
Yeah.
It was the second sessions that have given the United States the trouble. They have been outscored by 10 in the second session of day one. I don't know what you make of that, but it does look like they have a deeper team.
Yeah, I think 2 things that I think about that is, first of all, Europe has got tremendous fight, regardless of what the personnel says. I think that Europe, Adam, has become deeper as we've gone through the years. I think that they have not the depth that the United States has as far as the world ranking, but they're very comfortable in both formats. And the United States, I think sometimes, I'm not saying they get complacent, But when you get momentum, you've got to try to sustain it. And they have not done that. And they have given Europe, going into day two over the last decade, a sense of resiliency. And they feel like when the next day starts, they've reclaimed mm-hmm. some momentum. So it's vital for the United States to go out there this afternoon in four ball and at least get a push 2-2 and carry a lead into the overnight hours.
Gary Williams is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. He's at Whistling Straits. We're going to let him go in just a couple of seconds here. The second day has been the same type of thing. Saturday afternoons have also been a problem. Europe has carried momentum into singles, and we all know that singles really determines who has won the Ryder Cup. 10 of the last 12 winners of the singles session has won the cup. Is it possible that Padraig Harrington could sit Rory McIlroy this afternoon?
You know, I don't think so, but my hunch tells me Rory will go out. I was not with this group. I followed the first match, but from my understanding is that Poulter was the one who was a lot faultier this morning than Rory was. I think Rory is going to go back out this afternoon with Shane Lowry in four ball, baptize a guy who he knows very well. They've got a great relationship that goes back many, many years. So I expect Rory with Shane Lowry this afternoon, and Poulter will get the bench.
We are going to see Bryson DeChambeau in the afternoon four balls. For me, I would have sent Bryson out in the morning too, but maybe because I just don't see what format he wouldn't be good in as long as he hits it somewhere on the property.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, I think it's, and I think what will be interesting for Steve Stricker, he wants to have choice. He doesn't want to feel the burden of feeling like he's got to lean on the same guys. So I think what will be interesting is if Bryson DeChambeau, and I'm going to guess that he goes out with Scottie Scheffler this mm-hmm. afternoon, if they win their point and he plays well, does he get a nod in foursomes? Because you're right. I mean, I think sometimes we lose sight of the fact that, you know, yes, he's very, very long, but for somebody that long, he's pretty darn accurate. He does not hit a ton of foul balls. And if he's driving the ball well, it's a sight to behold to see a soft draw that goes 360 to 375 yards. It's absolutely absurd. So I think what you're saying is interesting. If he wins this afternoon, does Stricker maybe play the hot hand and give him a shot in foursomes? I think that's a reasonable thing to consider.
Gary Williams is with us. Before we let you go, because I don't know how much time you have.
No, I'm good.
All right, because I would talk to you for another 20 minutes. Obviously, we don't have that much time, but I don't know what your schedule is because you have a tower to climb. Cantlay and Schauffele got off to such an unbelievable start. They didn't have to do a whole lot, but the shot that Schauffele hit on 12. Especially coming after a couple of shaky approach shots that he and Cantlay each hit. To me, that was the dagger right there, even though it didn't really eliminate the Europeans.
No, I agree with you. When foursomes is such a funky format, and when you have a big lead, it's not quite as easy to sustain it because if somebody hits two poor shots, you can quickly lose a couple of holes. And the fact that they steadied it, stopped the bleeding, and did not allow Poulter and McIlroy really to get resuscitated, I think that you're right. That was the shot of the match for them. And I think that those two guys will get the nod this afternoon. I expect them to play four ball. I think it's going to be Spieth and Thomas again in four ball. Justin's record in four ball is fabulous. I think they'll get another shot. I think that Berger and Koepka, they've played well. They get a point. But I think that Harris, English, and Finau will go out this afternoon. So I think that Cantlay and Schauffele will be the other pair that will play two sessions today.
So we have Dustin Johnson and a former number one, a guy who, when he is right, is probably better than anybody else in the world, will only play alternate shot, and a two-time major champion who's 24. That's how deep the American side is. I don't want to put a lot of pressure on a Ryder Cup rookie like Victor Hovland, but how important is it for Hovland to be kind of a rookie star for Europe if they're going to have a chance here?
It's become even more paramount that you know, I don't know necessarily that he's going to get another shot this afternoon. Personally, I would give him another shot just because he's such a great ball striker. And if he plays his own ball, he can make a ton of birdies. So, but you're right. I mean, of those rookies, I would think that Harrington felt like he could be as reliant on him as anybody. So it's vital if he goes back out there that he has a good afternoon.
They just need some guys also that hit the ball a long way. And Tommy Fleetwood's not a long hitter. He hasn't been on form of late. Lee Westwood's not a long hitter. There's a lot of guys on the European side that have not really played their best of late. On Twitter, at Gary Williams 1UP. We'll bug you as much as you'll allow. Hope Five Clubs
Please
Golf
do,
goes
Adam.
Well.
I love the conversation. I'm glad to be back in North Carolina. I'm looking forward to having plenty of them going forward with you.
You got it. Gary, take care. Have fun today.
Thanks, Adam.
We do it on Fridays. We get two friends and we kick around important topics. It's the roundtable.
Camelot. Camelot. It's only a model.
Well, that's the roundtable. Oh, we got a great crew. We've got Julian Council, Locked On Hornets podcast.
Panthers.
Locked On Panthers podcast. Gosh, why did I do that?
Because we have Nada on, who does Locked On Hornets, and
yeah,
we have Julian on.
And I'm completely distracted by the Ryder Cup.
But you're not paying attention.
Yeah, that's bad. And also, Slack On Sports, Randy Slack from our affiliate in Wilmington also hosts Modern Rock 98.7. But he does Slack On Sports in the noon hour, and he recommends great places for burgers in Wilmington. So reach out to Randy on Twitter at rslack37. If you need burger joint recommendations, if you are at the beach. All right, gentlemen, I thank you very much for your time, and I apologize to you, Julian. I seemingly apologize to you a lot.
I feel like the last time Julian was on, you called him the wrong name or
now,
something, too.
Well, Julian didn't think I did, but I probably did because it is something that I do. So let's just get to topics, and then we'll move on from there, and I'll screw something up. Sorry, Julian, this is your wheelhouse. With the Locked On Panthers podcast. I get that right now. 3-0. Give me your impressions of where the Panthers are through 3 weeks.
It's okay, Adam. I'm also distracted by the Ryder Cup today as well. My impressions.
Are you really? Don't tease me.
I actually
don't
said
tease me.
Poor. Justin Thomas finally made a putt. And Bryson, what on earth is he doing off the tee? But that's not why I'm here. my impressions of the 3-0 start. I'm not surprised, honestly, going into the year, I thought that they'd beat the Jets. I thought they'd have a pretty good chance to beat the Saints. Now, I didn't expect the Saints to be missing as many players that they were missing and to have a COVID outbreak amongst their staff. And, well, you know, it worked out for the Panthers.
Sure.
Last night, whether they had Tyrod or not, I figured the Panthers would win that game. So them starting off 3-0 is not a shock at all to me. What's surprising, though, is how good this defense has been so far this season. Even Hassan Reddick said it last week after the Saints win. He has 4.5 sacks already this season. He was surprised by how good they've been so far early this season. That's probably the most surprising thing to me. Sam Darnold has certainly been pretty good throughout the season so far, especially last night in the second half when they lost Christian McCaffrey. I think he showed a lot. I know Matt Rhule characterized it as moxie. The guy's also
yes.
from chutzpah. So I give him a ton of credit for what he's done so far this season. I'm not completely sold just yet because I don't think the Panthers have really faced a good defense or a healthy secondary that can truly challenge Sam Darnold, but you got to give a guy a ton of credit for the way he's operated this offense and for the most part taking care of the football through the first week of 3 weeks of the season.
All right, so I'm gonna continue that theme for you, Randy. I'm gonna just sort of advance the ball a little bit, to use a football term. How much stock do we put in all of this based on the opponents? The Jets stink. The Saints were a little undermanned and certainly undercoached. The Texans were bad going in. Now they don't have a quarterback. So how much stock do you put in 3-0 based on the competition?
Well, honestly, I don't think the Texans defensively are as bad as maybe we think they are. I thought they played pretty well against Cleveland on Sunday. And, you know, I thought with Sam Darnold losing Christian McCaffrey, he was able to kind of keep the offense moving. And they moved the ball in the second half. I feel like every Panthers game, well, by every, I mean the other two, They get out to a lead early. They get some points early, and then they're kind of holding on. This game was kind of the opposite. The second half, they built on the lead, a slim lead they had, and it was nice to see that Sam Darnold could move on without having the security blanket that is Christian McCaffrey.
All right, let me ask also both of you this question because I'm trying to unhear it, but I'm having a hard time. Alec, can we play either of the Matt Rhule clips and tell me if I am wrong that Matt Rhule and Porky Pig are the same person?
You know, Christian strained his hamstring.
Right.
Back home, bro.
That is so wrong, bro.
Christian strained his hamstring.
I wish I could move away from it, but I can't.
What did Matt Rhule do to you?
He's a great guy. Wait, I love Porky Pig. That's not a negative connotation.
I mean, come on, bro. You called him a Looney Tune after a 3-0 start?
It would be worse if I called him Daffy Duck.
I guess. I can hear the resemblance, but man, that, I feel like you're cooking Matt Rhule right now.
You're probably right.
Christian strained his hamstring.
Gosh, I'm so. I'm borderline embarrassed that I keep making Alec play this. All right.
Well, now if Matt Rhule ever gets fired, we know what sound clip you're going to play.
Oh, we have it. Put that on the board. All right. Let's talk about Sam Darnold, who spit all the cliches after the game. Based on what you thought, Randy, before the season to what we have seen through three games, your thoughts on Sam Darnold?
You know, I thought he was a guy who maybe didn't have enough talent around him. The Jets are clearly a bad team. And it was like, I wonder what he can do with maybe some better coaching, with a ton of better skill position players around him. And for the most part, he's looked great. He made a really bad decision on an interception in the Saints game.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he's played pretty well. But again, I want to see him challenged by a top level defense. I want to see him in a high leverage situation where it's the second half, they're down. You know, what is he going to do when he has to try to match points when Tampa's up 14-3 at the end of the first quarter? Like what can he do there?
Julian?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point he brings up there. The fact that Sam Darnold really hasn't been challenged. None of these games, even last night, despite only being up by 8 at the half and the Texans driving in that first possession when I don't understand why David Culley decided to punt in that situation, but he did. The game was over after that point when the Panthers went down the field and scored. But the game is yet to be in the balance so far this season. They've yet to trail all season long, and I agree. Like, I want to see what Sam Darnold does when this team is behind. Now he certainly has some sort of adversity. Now it's football, so it's not real adversity with Christian McCaffrey not being on the field for the next coming weeks, and we're going to get to see what he's able to do. For me, I want to see what he does against some of the top quarterbacks because they brought Sam Darnold in here to be the franchise quarterback, right? To be able to build on the sustained success that David Tepper, the Panthers owners, wants to bring here to Carolina. Well, you have to have the right kind of quarterback in order to do that. In the NFC, the kind of guys you got to get by in order to win a Super Bowl and get to the Super Bowl are Tom Brady, the GOAT. You got to get by Russell Wilson. You got to get by Matthew Stafford, who looks pretty good so far with the Rams. You got to get past Aaron Rodgers. That's what I want to see. Like, is Sam Darnold good enough to go back and forth all game long against some of those guys? Like, we'll see on Sunday. I think Dak Prescott's pretty damn good. And that offense that Dallas is going to present, that's going to be the first challenge that the Panthers defense has gone up against all season long, especially with the secondary injuries that they sustained last night going up against that wide receiver core and that quarterback. Can Sam Darnold match up against some of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League? That's kind of the question I want to get answered moving forward. I really doubted him coming into the year. So far, he's looked good, but there's still plenty of questions that he needs to answer before I'm going to be sold on him actually being the guy who could potentially bring the Lombardi here to Charlotte.
Julian, here's the thing, and I'll make the statement. I'll just let Randy respond to this because I don't know that that is what they necessarily need from Sam Darnold. You don't have to be a top 10 quarterback or a top 5 quarterback or something like that to be a good quarterback. They're going to be built, it does seem to me, on the backs of a very strong defense and hopefully a healthy Christian McCaffrey. and an offense that is good. And the quarterback doesn't have to be amazing for that to happen.
Why are they going to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo? Because in that Super Bowl, the difference in that game was the fact that they had Jimmy G and the Chiefs had Patrick Mahomes.
Because
the 49ers were the better team throughout that game, but the fact they didn't have that top-level quarterback is why they drafted Trey Lance, right? And they're going to move on eventually from Jimmy Garoppolo. That's just my point.
I understand that, but I think the way Kyle Shanahan looks at Jimmy Garoppolo is that he is a below-average NFL starting quarterback.
When he's been healthy, all they've done is win.
Yeah, but why have they done that? They won because they had an incredible running game.
How many times did they throw it? You got upgrade eventually.
Right, but how many times? Which is why they did that. How many times did they run the ball to beat Green Bay in the NFC Championship game? They threw it 8 times in that game. So I think he recognized that Garoppolo was limited as a passer. Now I think Darnold is good. It remains to be seen. Like Randy, you remember the time where Sam Darnold was the presumptive first overall pick of that draft, of that quarterback class, right?
Yeah, he was, a premier guy. He was taken high for a reason. He had the skill set. He's young. I mean, this is what, his fourth year in the NFL, and he's only 24 years old. Like, that's a clear asset. I think the thing with the Panthers, if they can compete, if they can be good with Sam, look, you don't have to commit to him long term. We're seeing quarterbacks move or want to move. If you have a team and you build your team like a Tampa builds a team, and then a big-time veteran quarterback's like, I'm not happy in the situation I'm in, I want to go somewhere and win, you can be that landing spot for a guy like that, maybe an Aaron Rodgers one day.
Or maybe Tom Brady when he's 48. He could play for the Panthers. He's going to play till he's 50. why not? If you can protect him, he's going to play till at least 50 years old. All right, your level of concern, Julian, about the length of time Christian McCaffrey is going to be out, and what does their offense look like without him?
Yeah, I mean, it's somewhat concerning, right, that there's going to be a lingering issue probably the rest of the season, and I don't think they're going to try and rush him back and trying to – maintain all that, have maintenance with that. With last year when he had the ankle and then the shoulder and then he tried to come back and had the groin issue, that's him trying to work too hard to get back. So trying to slow him down and to make sure he's 100% ready to go, that will be the key for the Carolina Panthers. But yeah, the next coming weeks, not having him against Dallas will be a challenge in a game that's likely going to need to be a shootout for the Panthers in order to win that game. Then Philadelphia, I don't know how much you're going to miss them there. Minnesota, they can put up some points with Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook in that offense. Like, they'll certainly miss him. Like, the running game hasn't been great so far. Now, Chuba Hubbard did rush for 49 yards in the second half and showed why they drafted him in the fourth round out of Oklahoma State. There will be a drop-off. There's going to be more pressure, obviously, on Sam Darnold to go out there and make things happen. Hopefully, he won't feel like he has to do everything in this offense, which he shouldn't have to do with the weapons around him. But the offensive line is going to have to be a lot better, especially in pass protection for this team. It's likely going to become more of a pass-happy offense over the time that Christian McCaffrey misses.
Yeah, and that's where they lose. I think they miss Christian McCaffrey as much as anything, is out of the backfield, not just the safety valve stuff, but in pass patterns. All right, let's do a couple of minutes on college football before maybe we play more cartoon characters. State Clemson, Randy. Am I completely out of my mind for thinking that this is the time for NC State?
I mean, Clemson's offense isn't good, but the problem for NC State is the defense for Clemson is still really, really good. They took a Georgia team and held them to 10 points. They're a team that, with Brent Venables, they're always good schematically. They always have good talent on that team. They'll figure the offense out eventually, but yeah, that defense is just really strong for Clemson, and I think that's what's going to carry them this Saturday.
Julian?
Yeah, I mean, in that Georgia game, too, context, didn't have Darnell Washington, didn't have Eric Gilbert offensively for Georgia, didn't have Kyaris Jackson, didn't have Dominic Blaylock, didn't have George Pickens. So all of their offensive weapons outside of the running backs were not even available in that game. And looking at that, Georgia controlled Clemson the entire time. Now, Clemson's not going to face a team like that
the rest of the year unless they make it to the playoff. And I don't really see anyone in the ACC, including NC State, that can go up against them. Maybe North Carolina, but they certainly still have a lot of questions that need to be answered in the weeks to come. But come on. I've been living in this state long enough. Adam, you've been doing radio in this state long enough to know that NC State is not going to get it done tomorrow at Carter-Finley Stadium. They might, for a little bit, threaten to make it happen. But this is a team that just lost to Mississippi State a couple weeks ago.
Based on history.
Mississippi State team that barely beat Louisiana Tech and then just lost to Memphis last Saturday. No state's not going to win this game. So, yeah, you're crazy to think that this might be the time that Dave Doran and the Wolfpack actually get it done. Come on, man.
I appreciate you pointing that out, Julian Council. All right, final thing. Better chance.
Are you new here?
You're probably not wrong. Better chance of being in the college football playoff, Clemson or North Carolina?
Clemson, of course. I mean, in college football, it's a TV product, the college football playoff.
Right.
People should never forget that.
But what's their resume if they are chosen?
The resume is that they lost a one-score game to Georgia, and the only touchdown in that game is a defensive touchdown. But again, as I said, if you watch the game, at no point did it really feel like Clemson was going to win that, and Georgia controlled it the entire time. So a 7-point loss to Georgia, who could potentially be the SEC champion, is not all that bad. Then say North Carolina, if they're able to finish off 10-2 in a regular season, they beat a top 10-15 Carolina team in Charlotte, that might be enough. But the fact that it's Clemson and they'll get the benefit of the doubt, that's a huge thing in college football, as we've seen with Alabama when they didn't even win their division and went to the playoff. Same thing with the Ohio State when they didn't win their division and went to the playoff. Clemson will certainly get the benefit of the doubt based off of recruiting rankings, what they did in the past, more so than resume this season, especially when a bunch of teams are losing, and I don't even know how many undefeated teams we're going to have in college football, or even one-loss teams that are going to be eligible for the playoffs once we finally get down to December. So, yeah, definitely Clemson, Carolina. I don't even know how confident I am about them winning the Coastal.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Carolina would have to win out. Randy, is Julian right? I mean, he's been right for most of the show, so.
Yeah, the only thing he was wrong on, it is just Ohio State University. Don't let them bully you into adding a D in front of it. It's worthless.
Fair. All right, final thing. Is the Ryder Cup over right now?
It feels over, but you know how the U.S. is done. Europe has yet to lead the first round, or there's some morning session on Friday, since 2006, and yet they seemingly always win. I don't know. The U.S. is way too talented to not win this year.
I think the U.S. is going to wax them this afternoon. I hated what Padraig Harrington did this afternoon.
Yeah, why did he split up Rahm and Sergio?
I don't know. Why isn't Sergio playing? Why isn't Sergio playing? Like,
that doesn't make any sense. I mean, he has the most points of any European player, and he's not playing.
He has more points earned than the entire United States team. Why is he not playing every match until Sergio says, look, my leg's broken, I can't play?
Why is Morikawa not out there?
I'm going to level with you. I learned what the Ryder Cup was yesterday, but from what I've heard, it comes down to Sunday. That's my analysis.
It might not this week. Randy Slack at rslack37 on Twitter, and Julian Council from the Locked On Panthers podcast. I got that right. Follow him on Twitter at Julian Council. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. There you go. See? I challenge you to not think about that the next time you hear Matt Rhule.
You're going to have me calling him Porky Pig moving on.
Gosh, that's terrible. Nice. Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, take care.
You got it.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting ADAM to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.